Hey, this is Mick Gray, comic book inker for DC Comics.
Yo, what's up, everybody? My name is Sam Humphries from Marvel Comics, Citizen Jack and Jonesy.
Hi, I'm Christopher Moore. I'm the author of 15 novels, including Lamb and Secondhand Souls.
Hey, this is Rick Remender, writer of Fear Agent, Black Science, and Tokyo Ghost.
I am close personal friends with the Court of Nerds, so if you mess with them, you mess with me.
Welcome, everybody, to the Court of Nerds. Today, we've got Justin Jordan on. But first things, I'm Ben.
I'm Greg.
I'm John.
I'm still Grant. I like you're like half Drew, half game show host.
It's our half-assed Drew.
So Ben is going to be our budget Drew for the evening. So we had a week off while we took some time to recuperate from all of the awesome freaking news has happened, and also our 50th anniversary. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, do it.
But not in front of your parents.
Or anyone you respect.
And not with any of your children. Golly. Obviously, you don't want to have your children around because we talk about some pretty gross and amazing things. Mm. But we're going to start things off this week with TV. John, why don't you kick it off?
We'll start with TV. We got WGN America picks up Jason Aaron and RM Gura's Scalped for a pilot. It is described as a modern-day crime story set in a Native American Indian reservation, led by Chief Lincoln Red Crow and Dashiell Bad Horse, who has returned home from being away for years.
That's a badass name.
Dashiell
Bad Horse.
Oh, it's, yeah. I thought it was Blood Horse.
Is it Blood Horse or Bad Horse?
Bad Horse or Blood
Horse? I think it's Bad Horse. That's
I wish
read.
It was Blood
make
Horse.
It a, make it Bad Blood Horse. Yeah. They can play Ryan Adams in the background because fuck Taylor Swift.
And it looks like Banshee's Doug Jung will pen the script and executive produce, and CCO Jeff Johns, who had his hand in a lot of the other DC TV shows like iZombie and... I believe all the other ones.
Everything that you like.
DC, pretty much everything DC, even Gotham and Lucifer.
Oh, well, never mind.
Well, I mean, he's there. He will also executive produce the show as well.
You can't win them all.
To WG in America. Yeah, you can't win them all. What do you do?
Is it wrong to take a really cynical outlook on this and just be like, well, how are they going to whitewash this? I'm not trying to be funny, but it's just like...
I mean,
they keep fucking stuff up.
I know, and
the white man keeps fucking stuff up.
I haven't read Lucifer, but I do like the show. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have said if you've never read the comic, you like the show, and if you've read the comic, you hate the show.
I mean, that's how most people make TV shows. They don't give a shit about us.
Yeah.
They care about the people that had never even heard of the book.
Well, by whitewashing, I mean, do you think they're just going to cast
everyone's white? Yeah.
This is just
you mean.
It'll be the Oscars all over again.
What did we talk about just in the chat the other day? Somebody got cast as something, and you're like, wait, isn't that character Asian?
Was it Iron Fist?
No, well, okay, so we were talking about...
Because I have that next.
Yeah.
How that the Zendaya person got cast, and we don't know who she is. We hypothesized maybe she's Silk. Then we're like, well, isn't Silk Asian? Why would you take that away from someone who's clearly Asian? And that's... Anyway.
But yeah, it's...
Anyway.
Sorry. We got Unsilk somehow out of that.
Oops. Iron Fist, who was...
Talk about transition.
Bringing it back.
Who was recently cast by Finn Jones, another white guy, from Game of Thrones.
Time out, he's the whitest white guy.
In Game of Thrones?
Have you seen him without his armor in Game of Thrones, where he just looks like this weaselly white guy?
This waifish kind of... He's supposed to be this badass warrior.
Yeah.
Like, a very pretty badass warrior.
I pictured him as, like, the Midnighter of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay.
Just going around fucking shit up.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
not
really.
Like, you know.
Because that wasn't really his role. He didn't really go out and do stuff like that. That was more, because I was going to say Brienne, but Brienne didn't really do anything for about 3 books.
Yeah, can we just agree that a lot of the books is not really doing anything?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, back on.
That's why we need Drew. Get your shit together, Ben.
I'm just like, yes. Side conversations. Going good.
But Iron Fist will debut in the last episode of Luke Cage. And it's the rumor came out because Finn Jones already filmed his part.
What?
They're really? Apparently they're filming, so this,
those sneaky moments.
From comicbook.com. Yeah, he already filmed his part, so that's kind of why they announced him as Iron Fist, because there was rumors that why is he on set type of deal.
Okay, and probably someone's going to leak photos at some point, too.
Perhaps.
I don't think he will be in costume.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know.
It'll just be, yeah. Pretty sure it's just like a friend that shows up and says hi to Luke.
Man,
once.
Can you imagine if he was, though? Just everyone busting nuts left and right out of nowhere.
There'd just be this entire segment of the population that has Netflix that all of a sudden ejaculates simultaneously. Imagine the okay, I'm not going to do that. This is not supposed to be that kind of podcast. Listen to last week's if you want more conversation like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is still hope for Marvel TV to be included in the MCU.
You think?
I think it is a hashtag pipe dream, but still possible. Nate Moore says it's hard to line everything up because the TV shows move way faster than the movies.
Yeah.
But we love the idea. How do you feel about Thanos coming down in Infinity War Part 1? Just destroying New York, and then you pan by and you see Luke Cage and Daredevil, and you see the Defenders, and you see Jessica Jones, and you see all those
and they're
people,
like, hey, how's our 10 square blocks of New York doing?
Can we help? Like,
you go away!
We're here. I don't have superpowers. Well, some of them do. I'm just kind of blind. I'll help out.
I can hear really well.
Thanos coming and like wrecking stuff. And Daredevil's like, what happened? What happened? I can't hear anything.
Everything seems to be in order.
This is fine. This is very fine.
This is fine, guys. What's going on?
I'm actually really interested to see how they try to reconcile the TV properties with Civil War.
Well, they do it in the TV shows. They always reference the Battle of New York and the guy with the hammer or the dude with the shield.
The big green guy.
They've done it. But just like in Supergirl, they show a phantom Superman.
My cousin.
Oh,
but
God.
They
don't,
can't show Superman. And they're, you want to go off on a tangent, they're really going to screw it up when they do the Flash crossover on the 28th of March. Because apparently, this is supposed, they're going to align. That's why they're doing all this stuff on Arrow and they're killing off people because they want to bring them back for the movies. But they're just screwing it all up.
Yeah.
They're screwing it all up. Anyway, speaking of Supergirl, because I'm an awesome transitioner like that. Dean Cain returns in the March 21st episode called Manhunter, which will showcase John Johns coming into contact with Jeremiah Darv. Terrible handwriting. It was quick. And we will get a small screen take on the vigilante Guardian.
Really?
Which...
immediately more interested.
You were sleeping in that.
Or at least his alter ego, Jim Harper. Which, in Arrow, they kind of place Diggle as Guardian.
I swear they call him Spartan.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
They do. But they kind of lean toward him being Guardian. And with the Flash crossover on Supergirl and everything else kind of mixing up, like, their DC is just kind of shit in the bed in my personal point of view. You could... tweet at me if you want, if you have a different point of view. But hey, Kitty,
tweet at me, bro.
You can find John on Twitter at kittykittylicklick69.
It's actually XOXO7.
It's actually XOXO Sephiroth 420 XOXO.
Yeah, I used a lot of X's back in the day. But that's TV.
All right. Thank you, John. We're going to move on to gaming next. A couple of cool things. For one, I went on vacation. And I wanted to tell you guys this story because it's awesome. I went to a gamer bar in San Jose, California. It's called AFKGG. It's a gamer like a gamer lounge. This place was fucking dope. It was so awesome. Basically, there were... I'm going to do a quick plug for these guys because they're awesome. There are... crap ton of flat screen TVs, like a few that are like smaller that are on pillars and walls that are showcasing gaming tournaments like League of Legends and Dota. They also have these massive like 60-inch screen TVs. There's like 10 of them that you can rent video game systems and play with all of your friends while you're drinking.
Oh. And then downstairs, even better, there's more. And then
downstairs,
they have an entire, like, they have about, I think it's like 30 PCs that are all LAN together, and you can LAN with your friends. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Oh. This place is friggin', I found out this was Kickstarted, that it was a Kickstarter project by a Redditor, and I was like, oh my god, this is the coolest damn thing ever. And what I really, really hope is, I hope this thing catches on. Because that kind of, this is huge in other, in Japan, for example, they have a lot of these gamer lounges, gamer bars. You can go and you can rent a system and play a couple of games. I wish more cities would do this because there's obviously a draw for it. The place was friggin' packed when we went, and it was a fucking Tuesday night.
Huh.
So, like, we need more. For one, I want this in our home city of Grand Rapids, for obvious reasons.
Is that a drop?
Ben is making all kinds of noises with his asshole over there. I really, really want to see this happen. Totally unrelated to anything, but I just happened to see it and I wanted to share it with you guys. It's a freaking great idea, and I think we should
see it. Oh, yeah.
It
is gaming. But I feel like the places have tried to do that here before, and they failed.
The startup costs are kind of ridiculous.
Yes. Oh.
And to get a liquor license and all that food? Kind of stuff as well. You got to have liquor license. Yeah. You got to have the food, who does the health inspection come in
right.
for food. And then you got to buy, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. We're talking because there were at least 10 of these 60-inch flat screen TVs.
That's a lot of cake.
You definitely need a Kickstarter to do it.
Right,
in theory, fantastic idea. Love the idea. Especially if you could do food and drink and alcoholic drinks, I think it'd be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have the money and you'd have to have it all done at once. You can't introduce things like soon we're going to have the bar, soon we're going to have the food. You need to start it with everything.
Be like, bam, that in your face! Draw.
But they also have viewing parties for competitive esports as well. Which I think is really cool, it's getting bigger and bigger. My understanding is that in other countries, specifically in Japan, esports companies are actually sponsoring these places and helping them with startup. But seeing that in the United States. Anyway, it's an idea. If anybody happens to have that kind of capital, I recommend you jump on this because it's something that people do want. I think there's only like two of them.
If anyone has the capital, number one, can we have some? Number two, do this secondary.
I just want to play Smash Brothers with my friends and drink beer in a bar setting and not have to worry about food.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of
weird. You can come over.
I might be in the minority here, but
I have an N64.
What happened to a good old-fashioned stinky basement?
I do like a stinky basement.
Me too.
So the name of the company is AFK Gamer Lounge. It's in San Jose. If you Google that, you'll be able to find it. I believe their website is afkgg.com, I think. Also, moving on in gaming, huge news in the last couple of weeks. Pokemon Sun and Moon was announced. This is friggin' cool because it's a new Pokemon game, and oh my god, I'm excited. Well, we really don't know a whole lot about it, aside from there's probably going to be... obviously, there's going to be new starters. There's going to be new Mega Evolutions as they're pimping. There's probably not going to be a new story because every Pokemon story is essentially the same.
It's kind of the same.
Gotta catch them all.
They want to be the very best.
like no one ever was.
That's it.
And I'm really, really hoping that some of the online features are either made more broad and get rid of some of the crappy ones, like Pokemon Ami was just bullshit. It was awful.
I'm gonna nod like I know what you're saying.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. It was bad. I hope they get rid of it personally, but you never know. Also, Pokemon Go, we finally have actually heard something about this. They are beginning field testing in Japan.
Oh, this is a good place to
study. So hopefully Niantic can pull something out and make it not like Ingress, make it more of a cool AR thing. I am excited, but very apprehensive. Because we haven't heard anything for such a long time after the initial announcement that it seems as though it's probably not going as well as they thought it was going. Otherwise, we'd be hearing news like constantly about it.
And have you heard anything about your favorite sleuth and mine, Detective Pikachu.
I have not heard anything new about Detective Pikachu. I can't wait, though, for that, because that game is going to be dope.
Have Danny DeVito. Oh, my gosh. Pikachu.
If it's Danny DeVito, that's going to be the first Pokemon game I buy.
It has to be.
Pikachu.
Frank, go back in your box.
It was me. I pooped the bed.
And then the last bit of news
Pikachu
is a little
just
bit.
Crawls out of a couch.
Oh, yeah.
to get up today.
These are tangents. Last bit of news is a little bit on the sadder side, and it's also a little bit on the good side, depending on how you look at it. Lionhead Studios has been shut down by Microsoft. Which is kind of sad because, you know, it's a lot of people's jobs. Obviously, Peter Molyneux, that people love and both love and hate for his unbreakable optimism and enthusiasm for stretching the truth about his games. Fable Legends did not look good. So the fact that it got canceled is not necessarily a terrible thing, but the fact the whole studio went under, not necessarily as a result, very, very sad. And hopefully, a lot of talented people, good writers, there's good, great animators.
Shit. Lionheart did Fable?
Yeah.
Lionhead Studios, yeah.
Fuck, Lionheart, I keep fucking...
Lionheart is the name of the Gunblade, the ultimate Gunblade in Final Fantasy VIII. Yeah. That's what you were thinking of.
So, could some of these very good writers head to, I don't know, BioWare to help finish Mass Effect Andromeda?
That would be my hope. But their specialization has been in, like, this weird, quirky, kind of self-aware jokiness that the Fable series is pretty well known for. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have gone back to Fable 1 and been like, hey, you know, this is the formula that really worked for us in the past. Let's do that again. Because Fable 2 was not that. Fable 3 was even further away from that, and the gameplay got worse with each iteration.
Mm. Then I loved Fable 2. That was my favorite of the series.
I haven't played it.
You know, the ending. The ending killed it for me.
I didn't really like Fable 3 that much.
No, I had to stop playing it. Yeah, it was way too easy. Fable 1, I thought, was amazing. I thought it was really, really good. It wasn't a Zelda
killer.
I never
played the first. I just played 2
really?
And 3.
Okay. Yeah. I would recommend going back and playing that and then try to, and then again try to play Fable 2 and then Fable 3 because.
You still have your 360?
What's that?
You have a 360?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can let you borrow Fable 1.
You have Fable 1?
Hell
I've
yeah.
never played Fable 1.
Hell yeah.
You never played 2 or 3 though?
No.
I fucking loved 2.
I have to give him a shot.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I did like the fact that you could put the game down for a little bit. And then it rewards you for not playing the game. I thought that was kind of entertaining. Anyway, that's all I got in games this week. That's all I got in games this week. We're going to go with Grant next.
Okay, so I've got movies. I'm going to do the bad one first because it's sad. And you can't say that you didn't see something like this coming because that's the trajectory. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is off Sandman.
A boo!
It's not pleasant. And it hurts because he actually cared about the story itself. But what happened is, under Warner Brothers, DC Comics and Vertigo were both previously under that particular studio, but then they shuffled off Vertigo to some other branch, and that creative team did not see eye to eye with what Joseph Gordon-Levitt wanted to do.
I think it was New Line.
Was it New Line?
I believe so.
Okay, and that disagreement was just, you can't make something beautiful with that much tension between all the creatives.
Mm-hmm.
So he bowed out, and it kind of sucks.
And not even... it sucks more than just him bowing out. It's kind of the creative differences are scary because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a very creative dude that I like a lot of his shit that he creates and puts out there.
Yeah.
So it's
hitrecord.com
like,
is
great.
Awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, oh shit, what are they disagreeing with him on? That's kind of scary.
Mm. I would imagine him being a purist that he wants the comic or that he wants the movie to be as close to the book as possible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that could be it. Did you see Neil Gaiman's comments on this?
I did not.
He said that it's very sad. He wished that Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the studio could have worked it out. But he said ultimately what the fans need to understand is that he does not own Sandman. Sandman is not his property. So he can go in and advise, but he's not going to be one of the people that's writing it.
Which is Warner Brothers' loss.
Right. Absolutely.
So this is just one of those properties where it's star-crossed. You want it to happen so bad, but it just doesn't seem like this. It's going to come to pass.
Right. The stars are going to align, and they're going to be shitty stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to push it either, because then it's going to be shit. It's going to end up being something that nobody wanted, X-Men 3.
But if you think about it, they don't have to do the entire saga. If they boil it down to like Dollhouse, Seasons of Mist, and the finale, that you can make three really good movies off of those three volumes of graphic novels, and it'll work fine. But I don't know what the difference was between how much of the story they wanted to tell, but losing JGL was a huge blow, and you know, I wish the project the best of luck. Don't you have to wish him the best of luck because he's already got it because he's incredible.
Well, yeah, he's a very talented motherfucker, and he's so pretty.
He's handsome as
shit.
Oh,
my God.
He's the guy next door.
What's super good is the news that your boy, my boy, our favorite druggie, Jesse Pinkman, is going to be in the Dark Tower trilogy.
Another adaptation, yes.
That is that's just beautiful casting. Like, this is something that Aaron Paul was pushing for back when he heard that this was in development.
Yeah.
And this goes back years. And getting him to play Eddie, is it Eddie Dean?
Yeah.
Getting him to play Eddie Dean, just a guy constantly at war with himself, with how he's transitioning from being this junkie loser without a future to being involved in this sprawling epic. Aaron Paul's going to bring the 110% to this role.
If you just joined us, it sounds like you were describing Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah.
Like a druggie that starts off and finds himself, I mean, not perfect way that way, but
it's
I mean,
niche.
Jesse definitely develops more as a person as that story goes on.
It's kind of the perfect casting.
It is. It's perfect casting.
He's just so fucking intense. And it's going to be just a delight to see him and Elba.
That's such an interesting pairing.
Oh, man. And I'm curious to see who's going to play, of course her name escapes me, the lady.
Suzanne.
Because they have to, between Elba and Paul, they got to find someone just fucking gnarly.
Yeah. They can't get some... They could go the whole totally brand new girl type thing, or they need to get someone who's like super established.
Personally, I like Octavia Spencer. I love her work, and she was in The Help. She's the one that shit the pie.
Oh, shit, yeah.
The pie shitter. I think she's great. I think she has the chops to banter back and forth with those guys. And again, she can bring that weird, crazy intensity because she got crazy eyes sometimes.
I'm a little bit concerned about this project as well because so much of the material is unfilmable.
Yep.
Straight up unfilmable. The literary references, the jokes within the text itself, the meta humor just wouldn't work on screen. So it's probably why it's a trilogy instead of seven books. So.
You got to give it to these studios. They seem to have a lot of ambition for these supposedly unfilmable things, but... It can go really well or really poor, and I kind of sort Watchmen as an example of that, because that book was a triumph, and the way they had to adjust the ending to make it work in that setting, it was just extremely disappointing to me, so I'm hoping they don't have to make giant sweeping changes to adapt these things like that.
And if you're a Stephen King fan, you look at something like Misery, which was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a couple of the other older movies that they have done with Stephen King's properties.
Yeah, just
and
did just... not fucking translate to the screen at all.
Exactly, So, I don't know.
I had those fears for that Hulu show they just put out, that 11... James Franco and J.J. Abrams, but...
11-23-63.
That's translated well, and that kind of seemed like a book that was going to be super tough, but, I mean, off-topic, still.
Well,
not really. Stephen King.
I mean, yeah, it was Stephen King, and then it's just kind of, it's optimism.
Uncle Stevie.
Uncle Stevie.
Entertainment Weekly. He has a column in Entertainment Weekly called Uncle Stevie. Whatever, you guys. The last thing I wanted to touch on is something that I...
Touch on this.
I'll touch something. I found this out today.
Hey, put the Spider-Man mask back on.
Yeah, please. I found this out today, and when I read it, I had to reread it, find a secondary source to confirm, and then let my brain soak this in. We've bitched on here about Ike Perlmutter, who's in charge of Marvel Studios at this point.
This is fucked up.
That he tried to have Iron Man written out of Captain America's Civil War to save money?
That's fucked up.
He didn't want to pay Robert?
Yeah.
Oh, my Jesus.
Because originally, they kind of wanted Iron Man to have almost a backseat role where he doesn't have much screen time, many lines. Downey Jr.'s like, no.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
It's kind of integral to the story.
Civil War. It's not Captain dances around in his underwear.
Yeah, so Perlmutter's like, you know what? And he literally tried to have Iron Man written out of Civil War.
I understand for budgetary constraints, because isn't Robert Downey Jr. one of the highest paid actors in the MCU?
He's coming off of, I think he made $75 million for Iron Man 3, $50 million off Avengers, and God knows how much for Avengers 2.
Yeah.
So he's going to be demanding a pretty big chunk of change for Avengers 2.5.
But does he have to? Like, I mean, he could just be—he could be the bigger man and just be like, "I'll take a pay cut."
Fuck that! Never take a pay cut.
No, you don't. Honestly,
never take a pay cut.
That's not how their contracts work.
You're better than that.
Sure, but then you're getting movies that are going to cost $500 million to make, aka Avengers: Infinity War 1 and 2.
They shouldn't have set the market. They controlled the market and they set it there.
Marvel kind of did themselves in with this. They have a lot to atone for, but. That's all I have. Feel free to Google that, because it's real and it's incredible. And Ben, you got books?
Books!
Books!
Silence. Oh my god. We've gone from, you know, what seemed like a pretty okay cast to now...
Sound effects.
All right, go on with the 60 no scoping in Call of Duty. Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Raven Simone episodes of the Cosby Show.
God damn it.
That's so Raven. Oh, there's a. All right.
Every time we have Ben on, when we get to his segment, something goes off the rails.
Damn it. All right. I love it. One of my books? Okay. Yes. Yeah. There's an awesome Spider-Man book out right now. In the confusing world of Spider-Man books, it's not Amazing Spider-Man, it's not 2099, it's not Spider-Man vs. Deadpool, it's Spider-Man! It's Bendis.
Is that Morales?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it's Morales, it's after Secret War, there's still Peter Parker, but there's also Miles Morales. This book is quintessential Spider-Man. Miles Morales is in school, he's having girl problems, two people... know his secret, that's it. So it's like those old school retro Spider-Man storylines. And it feels good. It's been a very long time.
Do you remember if it's Bendis and Sarah Pacelli on
it? It is.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and like there's a panel where Spider-Man is questioning his own race. He's like, I don't want to be the black Spider-Man since both there. He's like, I just want to be Spider-Man. So, I mean, I highly recommend that book. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and it's right.
I think all of us are going to end up wearing the Spider-Man hood at some point.
Well, I'm glad to
I know this
there's...
isn't a visual medium, but
oh yeah,
still.
And it's Bendis, and it's Bendis is rocking it. He's doing a really good job through two or three episodes.
It's right in his wheelhouse.
Issues, yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's Spider-Man versus Spider-Man at the end of issue one and going into two, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So we'll accept that one begrudgingly.
Yeah, for sure. Paul Ryan died, cartoonist. You might know. I know him from the Fantastic Four in the early 90s, mid-90s run, so that's sad. You know, he'd been working on a lot of books, a lot of big names. I think he was 66. So
still relatively young, especially for
an artist. Right. I saw that too, and I was like, he can't be that old. But yeah, wasn't he with who was he with on the Fantastic Four? DeFalco. It was for like 7 to 8 years, so...
And it sucks because it was during that part where it wasn't as lucrative as it soon became.
Yeah, exactly. No, yep. And those books, while there were a lot of weird fucking art in the early 90s to mid-90s, his had like a retro early 80s, late 70s feel to it. So he was a perfect fit for Fantastic Four. You ever see some of those old trades, pick them up. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to crank a little numbers now. DC beat the shit out of Marvel last month.
No kidding.
Three books sold over 100,000 copies.
Which ones?
What was it? Dark Knight 3, Master Race, Star Wars 16, and Batman 49.
Really?
Marvel had zero books over 100,000, and their top seller was that Spider-Man book, the one I was talking about.
Is it oversaturation in the market of their properties? Because we have the big properties like Deadpool and Spider-Man, and they just have so many that have come out that I imagine that for a fan, it just becomes overwhelming.
Well, I've thought that too, but that Spider-Man Bendis book sold like 99,000 copies. Amazing Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man, the lead, sold like, shit, what was it? 71,000. Lost by 28,000. It's still a relatively new book important in the storyline, and it's getting its ass kicked by Miles Morales.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes to show that it seems like the customers are, they're just like, I need quality. The variants aren't enough.
Yeah.
Like, big flashy shit isn't enough. I need to like something if I'm going to spend money on it.
Yeah.
And it's about time, frankly. I was getting worried that the market was heading towards another like explosion.
Yeah.
Like the 90s had. And although it's still teetering on the edge, knowing that this is the case makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, that Master Race sold like 150,000 issues in a month. That's great. So, I mean, shit. People are picking up good books.
How do you, have you read DK, DK3, this one?
No, I'm behind.
I have one and two, and I don't know if I'm going to pick up anymore.
It's not floating your boat?
No.
No.
Hmm. And it's not a slam against Azzarello because he's incredible.
It's not sharpening your Batawang?
No. Hmm. I don't like the artwork because I'm not a Kubert fan. But something about...
Really? Well, yeah. What is it?
I don't like it. Everything seems rushed and awkwardly squinched.
Okay.
But the storyline's just not getting it for me. The Master Race refers to the people in the Bottle City of Kandor, we learn, are, I guess, spoiler alert, they're a radical, zealous faction that essentially trick Carrie Kelly into enlarging them. And, spoiler alert again, stop if you're actually reading this, they fucking kill the rest of the city of Kandor. All these innocent people are dead, and Superman doesn't know yet.
Hmm. Interesting.
So what you're saying is it just doesn't tickle your Robin?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't pamper your Penguin?
No. Okay, that really killed my croc.
Oh.
Bazinga. Do we have...
That's it, man.
Poison your eye.
Are we done now?
Okay, so now that we've ended this on about as poopy of a note that we can possibly do it, check us out online, thecourtofnerds.com. Make sure you check out our, make sure you check us out on Twitter because we're constantly tweeting stuff. We're talking to our favorite people on Twitter, and you could be one of our favorite people.
Yeah.
If you follow us at court_of_nerds, we are on Snapchat.
John. We are on Snapchat.
We are, yeah.
Do you happen to have the info for the Snapchat?
I sure don't.
You don't?
Shit.
It's not like any one of us set it up or anything.
I did. It's court_O of that word, and then nerds _. Not capitalized.
Find us on Facebook if you haven't been turned off already by this podcast. We are the Court of Nerds on Facebook. And fuck. I guess we're just going to have to call it a day before this goes off the rails.
I'm not a leader.
That's okay. It's okay.
I tried hard, but
you
thanks.
Know how it is? You got to lead, follow, or get out the way.
All right, end the show.
Go back to the
report. I'm Greg.
Grant.
John.
And I'm Ben.
And we are the Court of Nerds.
We'll see you next time.
Hey, so be sure you check us out on Facebook. Be our friend. You can just search us, Court of Nerds. We are not the Scandinavian public access show, just FYI. Also, follow us on Twitter at court_of_nerds. We are _awesome. Also, if you're not already on our website right now, check it out, thecourtofnerds.com.